Aloha and welcome to Connection to the Cosmos with your host, me, Dr. Lisa Thompson, where I have out of this world conversations with extraordinary people. Today, I am really excited to have on Angela Bixby, and we're going to bring her on in just a moment. First, just a couple of announcements. So if you have not yet grabbed my free 20-minute meditative journey to meet your galactic family and guides, make sure you grab that on my website, mysticmanta.com or drlisajthompson.com. If you're coming to Hawaii, to the Big Island, come on one of my UFO tours where you'll see the night sky in a whole new way. And for more information on that, go to bigislandufotours.com. And then for those of you who want to really go a deep dive exploration into the galactic realm, then I'm hosting my galactic retreat experience here on the Big Island, October 2nd to the 6th. For more information on that, you can find it on either of the websites, mysticmanta.com or bigislandufotours.com. So without further ado, we're going to bring on Angela. Hello.
Hi, Dr. Lisa. I'm so glad to be here with you today. Yeah. Thank you.
I am so excited. And, you know, so I'm gonna introduce you. I'm going to read your bio, but there's so much more that we're going to talk about that's not even in your bio. So super excited for this. Okay. So, living beyond the five senses is how Angela Bixby has always lived. She'll tell you that she got the call to live a more spiritually oriented life in 2010 when she found her way to psychic school in New York City. The truth is that as an empath and a natural claircognizant, she often sensed what wasn't there, what wasn't obvious in conversation, what wasn't being said. Angela walked a spiritual path her whole life as a highly sensitive person and has mastered many ways to support others as they walk this earth as spiritual and sensitive beings. Having developed all of her psychic skills, having studied a few hundred hours with many energy healing practitioners, and after having helped over 10,000 clients, Angela best serves her clientele as a consciousness mentor and spiritual development coach. Okay, I'm going to stop there because you're also, as we talked about before we got on here, you also are a trance channeler, you are a galactic ambassador like I am, and so there's just going to be so much juiciness in this. I'm excited to have you on.
Woohoo! I'm excited to be here.
So I would love for you to share kind of first how you grew up, spiritual, religious, something else. I mean, you say in the bio that you've been spiritual most of your life or your whole life. So tell us about that journey a little more.
Sure. No problem. Born on the West Coast, born in Seattle, grew up in California for the early part of my life and then moved east after that. But, you know, grew up in California. So I was in kind of inherently in kind of a cool family. Yeah, I like to think, you know, being in California where things were happening, you know, in the 70s. And it was not on my parents' radar at all that I was psychic. I had a near-death experience at the age of 7. I was hit by a car, and it was actually an out-of-body experience. I did not go to the light. I didn't see a light. I hovered above my body, you know, watched myself sort of being put in the ambulance, all the things over the couple-week period that I was healing. And this does connect to very recently because that occurred over 49 years ago, but right around the anniversary, the galactic started coming to me again and explaining that while I myself was not someone that was ever had any kind of like abduction experiences, they've started to tell me, and the story's still filling in, so I don't have all the answers yet, that they were working on me at that time. So that's new information that I have about this tragedy for my family when I was age 7. From there on, you know, I do think it shifted me. I can sort of look at pictures of myself as a child and remember kind of that I was different before that happened. But back to your original question about how I grew up and sort of spirituality and religion, dad was Catholic, mom was Christian, older sister was baptized, younger brother was baptized. They totally dropped the ball with the middle child, which I do not disregard them for at all. They've said jokingly that I clearly didn't need it because I was always into the spiritual and always, you know, have since gone through so many different things with the work that I do that they say, okay, you must not have needed it. So I didn't have to deal with any of the unpacking of sort of what happened when I was young in a spiritual sense or a religious sense, certainly. So I was always interested in, you know, meditation and yoga and kind of everything metaphysical, and really just thought that it was, these were interest points for me. I didn't realize that I was psychic. And it wasn't until I started going through more my conscious and intentional awakening when I was in my 30s. I'm now 56. In 2003, I went through 2003, 2004, I went through a divorce, and that's when I entered a more intentional and conscious awakening. And I started doing all kinds of things, you know, Tibetan Buddhist meditation, took vows. And then it was, I didn't realize I was psychic until I was in psychic school in 2010. So I had kind of a whole life of not realizing I was empathic and claircognizant until I got into psychic school. And then I went, all of the bells and lights started going off, and I started realizing that I was connected. Yeah.
Well, so what was that like? Okay, so you're entering, so you're drawn to go to the psychic school. And so what were those first aha moments like in terms of, and like your strongest clair ability? Was it the claircognizance?
Yeah. So leading up to the 2010, I was so wanting this because I didn't think I had it. I was intending, I was praying, I was doing all kinds of manifestation. I was going to see Sylvia Brown. I was working with a shaman. I was doing all the things that a lot of us do as sort of, you know, seekers, if you will. Mm-hmm. And I just didn't realize that I was already psychic. And so I had been opened. I also wasn't satisfied in my career. So I had been open to what was next. I had really been sort of setting the stage for this. Through the process of asking, intending, praying, I started having spiritual experiences. I had one, and I'm not typically scared of anything, but I had one where I was awakened in the middle of the night and spirits were shaking my mattress. And I was like, okay, I said I wanted this, but that was a little scary. Called the shaman I was working with. She said, yes, things are unfolding. A few months later, they woke me up and it wasn't as stressful or scary. And they put a flat screen TV on my wall, which I did not have in my bedroom at the time. And again, I called my mentor, my resource in the shaman, and said, what's going on? She said, you're going to channel, you know, you're going to channel, you're going to find a class that's nearby. It's going to fit your budget. It's going to work with your schedule as a single mom. So I got off the phone with her and started in 2010, Googling channeling. I really didn't know what I was looking for. And I found the Holistic Studies Institute near me in New York City, just a couple hours away, affordable. And it, 10 days later, I was in a class. And so when I landed there, it was the ahas of, I've always been claircognizant and empathic. And then my skills started building from there, but I'm living proof that we can train all of our psychic skills. Because while I was having huge dreams my whole life, so a lot of clairvoyance in my dreams, mm-hmm. when I entered the process of developing, my vision, my clairvoyance didn't come online for a little while, and my clairaudience took even longer. So I developed them over time. I opened my practice in 2011, and once I started practicing, I was doing it part-time, and then I shed my day job in 2013. I've been doing my work full-time now for 11 years in my practice. So my skills have just continued to increase. I have all of the clairs now, and I trans-channel, you know, so I haven't met many things that I'm not able to do is how I've sort of figured out what my skills are, is I'll try them, they happen, I'll develop them, they happen, and then I just sort of keep going.
Okay, well, so, I mean, I love that you said that because that's something that I've known in terms of like everyone has the ability. We all have the inherent psychic abilities. It's just a matter of practicing, trusting, you know, it's like a muscle, right?
Totally, totally. And I like to say we all have a pineal gland, a pituitary gland, and a physical body. And our physical body is our best divining rod. And yeah, I would add to your list of, you said it so well, that healing. You know, a lot of us find that there's a lot of sort of healing work and releasing work and making room for the skills that may need to happen mm-hmm. before we bring some of the skills online.
Yeah, I know for me, that's been part of my process is clearing away any emotions and stuck things so that I can really open up my ability to trust, yes, the information that I'm getting, and then also open up that channel.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Well, so, okay. So let's talk a little bit about the channeling because mm-hmm. before we got on, you were sharing a little bit about like some of the different groups that mm-hmm. have come through. And so if you can mm-hmm. share with the audience, like how did it start for you? And I know for me, in terms of opening up my vocal channel, I was hesitant to do that for so long because the spiritual school that I grew up in was a channeled ascended master that was teaching it. And there was so much stigma in the 80s around channeling, and especially in the town. I was in a little town, very religious town. And so it was like this us versus them mentality. And so it wasn't until, you know, a few years ago that I was like, okay, channeling can be different things. It doesn't have to be like what I experienced with Ramtha. And that allowed me the ability to be like, okay, because my ETs were like, we want to channel. So I came over my fear of people judging me.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, great points to raise. For me, we covered trans-channeling in psychic school, and I knew that at that time I wasn't ready, and it didn't really feel like it was going to be my jam. I wasn't sure why. I was working on the psychic skills and the psychic medium stuff at that time, and then energy healing shortly after that. So my passion, I'm going to lean back a second and give you this precursor for the audience to set the stage a little bit for what you just asked about the trans-channeling. So my passion is teaching people to connect to their intuition. That is the one thing that came through quite clearly my first day in psychic school. And so I've got this program called the Conscious Psychic Program that's been in existence since 2012. And it's a long-term hybrid coaching program where people learn to develop psychically. So in 2018, I had a student enroll, and bless her, she did not have a lot of skills, pardon me, that had expressed yet. Okay. And she didn't really like meditation. And she stuck with the process of showing up at development circles and didn't have a lot coming through, which is fine. She was patient. About 5.5 months in, she was on a one-on-one with me, and all of a sudden she started trans-channeling. So I said to her, well, how do you feel? You just trans-channeled. That was at the end of 18. With that, my guides were like, okay, teacher, you get to walk alongside the student. You've been ready. And so I started trans-channeling, and we started offering monthly events in January, and she and I would channel side by side. I would have other students come in sometimes, and we would both channel all different types of entities. So for me, it came through kind of out of necessity for my practice and my program and my students. And then the extra benefit was that I was able to develop my connection to further with all of the ascended masters and archangels, and then certainly the galactics and all of that. So it's just taken off since then. So I've been trans-channeling for 5.5 years. Yeah, 5.5 years since the end of 18.
Okay. Is there a primary group that comes through more often, or can you decide who wants to come through, or is it just really organic?
Great question. So the way that I set up the original format, I don't do a lot of independent channeling on my own, was in these awakening circles, these events, these workshops that I would run. So there would always be attendees and an audience. And when I would get to that space, it's always been a number of different entities. And it was explained to me that part of the reason that it's like that for me is because I do teach and I do help different people, gain and grow these skills. And so it has not been one entity. It's always fifth dimension and above. I don't channel anything lower than that. Trans channel through my body, mm-hmm. through my voice. Ascended masters, archangels, galactics, they're from all different dimensions, higher dimensions. And for the last year and a half, they've been talking to me about being a galactic ambassador, and they've been testing and kind of pushing the buttons. And so there's a council forming. They came through last week on an event that I was doing, so they may want to come through today as we talk. We'll see. But so it's either sort of Yeshua or Mary Magdalene or some of the archangels or Shiva, right? Or Pleiadians. It can be all different types of beings, and they'll come in, and I have a little telepathic dialogue with them. I vet them, make sure I know who they are and where they're from, and then they'll come through. So it isn't a seamless process for me yet. One, because I'm not just bringing through one entity or energy, and two, because the council hasn't quite fully formed yet. They've been giving me a lot of specific direction on that. Okay. Does that answer your question? I know I can get lost in the ether sometimes. So I want to make sure I answer what you asked.
No, it does. And I love that same, like in terms of fifth dimension and higher. And so from your perspective, so you are a psychic medium, but you said you don't deal with the dead people, right?
I do in one-on-one sessions. I will absolutely talk to people's dead people for them. I do mediumship differently. I call them in. I don't let spirits just come in. So I've approached my psychic mediumship differently than maybe stereotypical mediums that people may be familiar with. And when I don't let them speak through me. My claircognizance has left people feeling like I've been channeling for years. And that's where I'll say something that might be in the tone or the language of the dead person in a one-on-one session. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, oh my God, that sounds just like, you know, my dad or whatever. So there'll be similarities, but I don't let them trans-channel through me because they're lower dimensional.
Okay. Yeah. And so like the ETs that I channel are fifth dimension and higher as well. Yes. And so, yeah. So if you, from your perspective, want to just share like why that is important in terms of if someone is going to channel, why fifth dimension and higher?
Absolutely. So we live here, as you know, in the third dimension, everything we can kind of see, hear, touch. The fourth dimension is said to be, it's where psychic messages and mediumship messages fly around. But the third and the fourth are still subject to dualistic thinking and dualism. And so good, bad, right, wrong, yin, yang, right? And ego, lots of ego. Fifth dimension, as you know, Lisa, is where unity consciousness sort of begins and resides. And so it's kind of above ego, above that dualism. It's more about the one and the oneness of the love and the connection that we all have. And so it's those higher vibrational messages that I'm interested in pulling through in those forums. You know, those are what are uplifting to people. Those are part of what's helping carry us all through this incredibly difficult time on the planet. And so it's, that's why, because a lot less riffraff, a lot less ego than happen in the lower dimensions.
Yeah. Well, and okay. And what's important for, I think I want the audience to understand about that is that there are people who channel the lower dimensional ETs and other groups, and it is highly polarized, and they're keeping people stuck in the fear and the us versus them mentality, and fear sells, it makes money.
Yes. But
ultimately, we are all shifting as a consciousness to fifth dimension, and so we need to keep our focus there.
Exactly, on the love. And if we're focused on the fear in the lower dimensions, we're not gonna be bringing through the love messages. Yes, right on, well said.
Yeah. So for people who are listening to channeled messages that do have fear base, just know that you, by you listening to that, then that's the reality that you are creating. That's the timeline that you are on.
Absolutely. And I would add that is the energy that you're connecting to. And it's hard to get out of your fields, especially if you're not aware of it. I'm super big on energy hygiene. I teach my students that all the time. It's inherent to holistic metaphysical practices, in my opinion. And so if people are listening, as you said, to lower dimensional energies or fourth dimensional tricksters or what have you, shapeshifters, it may sound really sci-fi, but that energy can come into your fields and stay in your fields, even if you're listening to somebody on a recording from 2 years ago, halfway around the world. Time and space don't matter. They will still come in and essentially feed on you and can take over. It can get pretty icky.
So what are some just really quick tips for energy hygiene that you could give the audience?
Yeah, so I teach people my foundational basics, and they wrap in a little bit of energy hygiene too and some of the steps. So grounding is really important in order for us to divine in any sense of the word. So let me step back a minute. The way that I explain it to my students is I do first party channeling when I'm trans channeling and vocal channeling. People call it a lot of different things. Mm-hmm. So in my program, I'm teaching people essentially to third party channel, where they'll call in an energy, a higher dimensional spirit guide, and be able to glean a message to offer to people, but they don't let them speak through them. So grounding is really important for us to be able to divine. And again, I'm not talking about trans channeling with my students. So even just to pull through psychic messages, if you think of a pyramid, the broader, the stronger the foundation, the better, you know, sort of the point is sort of more in higher contrast to the base. And so that's kind of what you want to think about with the grounding, is that you're kind of setting yourself up like that broad base of the pyramid to be able to pull things through from your higher chakras in a way that you can trust the information. If you're not grounded, you can't trust the veracity of your messages. Even more so, you might be able to trust half of it, but not the other half, and that can be cause all kinds of problems. So grounding is first and foremost the most important thing to do. Even if people feel like it helps them connect less, I say it doesn't matter. You got to stick in that grounded space. Like, you cannot be in my classes and not be grounded. So grounding is huge in energy hygiene. centering, and then of course, and shielding. You know, if you've got things to kind of clear out of your field, do that before you shield. And I like to use the term shield versus block, because the reality is that everything's energy, everything's always moving. And so we're not going to be able, it's not healthy to block everything out. If we do that, we're creating such resistance that when our guard is down, it could come rushing in. So shielding is how I like to say it and recommend it. And since 2020, you know, one shield used to be enough, but now the guides have been really clear on like 10, 12, 14 shields. Teach people to put up just like layers and layers and layers of shields.
Okay.
Because of so much going on the planet and all of the heightened polarity and polarization that you speak of, more shields, more layers of shields is my best advice. And shields will last about 72 hours max. And so people, I really recommend that people get into energy hygiene practices daily. If we're not practicing energy hygiene, and there are lots and lots of things that can be encompassed in that umbrella, mm-hmm. it's akin to sort of what happens if you don't clean your toilets.
Okay.
Regularly. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's great advice. And so in terms of the channeling, are you feeling called to do some channeling?
Yeah, absolutely.
And then do they like to just share the messages or Q&A style? Because I'm happy to just let you just go for it.
They often come through without prompting, or I'm telepathically asking them questions. And so I would invite you to ask questions. I will bring them through and we'll see what they have to say. Perhaps they'll offer us a message unprompted. And if they're quiet and you would like to pose questions, we can do that too. How does that sound?
Okay. And I don't have any questions prepared. So this is just going to be...
That's okay. Yeah, no, we'll go freeform together. We'll see how it goes. How about that?
Okay.
So this is the one, the Council of One. And as it stands now, there's an Andromedan ambassador. There's an Andromedan at the table. There's an Arcturian at the table. There are three other unnamed galactics. They're seventh dimensional in nature. So they're all seventh dimensional energies and entities that are part of this council. Yes, yes, we are glad to be here with you today and to be coming through in this fashion and to be in conversation with other galactic ambassadors. We say we are in good company. Yes, yes, we are. How do you feel about this connection? We feel good. We feel good. Yes, yes. Sorry, some of it, sometimes it's a little like that where they're sort of talking to themselves and me. We trust that we are sitting at quite the table with the two of you, and we say to you, what would you like us to cover? What would you like us to pontificate on?
What would be the greatest thing that humans need to know at this time in this year of 2024?
Yes, yes, yes. The juicing of the joy from all of the experiences is what we would like to say is the best and most fun topic and direction for us to go in at this time. So we say yes to all of the juicing and all of the love and above and all of the joy and all of the things that bring you humans pleasure. The downside to your race at this time is that they have been raising the bar on what gives them pleasure, and it's actually been having an inverse reaction and bringing them in less pleasure as they raise the bar and look for more, 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 more. So we say to you that the juicing of the joy and the satisfaction and the chiming in of the angels to celebrate you and salute you as you move through this is meant to be happening for you all within your souls, within your environments, with less stimuli. Take down the bars. There is no bar for joy. The joy is inherent in you. And we say to you that the residing of the joy within you is one of the greatest gifts that you carry through you. And that is what is to be honored. Does that make sense? Hear, hear. Yes, yes. We will answer ourselves in this one, for we have more to share. We say to you, the times are coming where more of us will be on your planet, and the veils will be dropping and the oneness will be increasing. And that does leave many humans with fear. And so we say, juice the joy, the more joy, the less fear. The higher the joy quotient on your planet, the more ready your human species will be to receive us in the ways that some of you are wishing, others are dismissing, many are not paying attention. For the showing up and the melding and the mixing and the building the true community with us galactics and you humans will require more joy in hearts of those that dwell on the planets. We are not talking about the leaders. We are talking about the humans. We are talking about all of you who may be listening to this. We take not lightly the request to spread the word, for not all are open and ready and willing to receive and hear this. We say to you, if you feel the call, listen to the call. Please listen to the call. Please bring the joy into your hearts. Please consider connecting with us in the ways that you do through consciousness. Consciousness, not through the sight, not through the ships, but through the consciousness of your capacity. And your capacity is rich and large and huge. And so we know that you have it in you and you can do this. For we, when we are connecting with thee, it is waves of consciousness that we are co-creating together and communicating together through our different systems. And so it is actually quite simple. So those who heed and those who feel and heed the call, we say to you that we are ready. We are ready to connect with you through your consciousness in the ways that you may find valuable for you and for your teams that you're gathering to do this with. They're showing me people gathering in circles and things and communities and channeling for each other and, you know, exploring it in those ways. This will help to pave the way for the new beginnings that you are all so ready and think you are ripe for. Here won't happen before 2025. 2025 to 2029 is when we say that you will see more and more and more of this grow. And that is when many aspects of this rolling out of the carpet mission will be accomplished. And it will be after that time that there will be more harmony and walks of harmony between us and you and we and thee. Over and out. There was a mantis being that was coming in at the end. It's almost like he was coming in to say to them, like, there's something else you have to do. Like, it was interesting to watch.
Okay. I love the mantis.
I connect to them. I channeled one a few months ago. But they're less known to me. There's no fear about it. It was more, I was open to a stopping point because I know that we don't have all day to channel. I could have gone on for a really long time. So I was open to a stopping point, and that's when they were indicating that was a stopping point.
Well, and I love that the message coming through them/you is very consistent with what comes through my galactics as well. Awesome. And others, you know, that are channeling those higher dimensions. And so really it is the joy, right? How do we find joy in our life? Like, how do we own the joy in our life? And so is there anything you want to share about that? Like maybe how you bring joy or how you discover that within yourself?
Absolutely. The galactics have taught me this. They say, sound is light more than light is sound when they're trying to talk to me about frequency and the heady topics. But one of the fastest ways for us to raise our frequency, I may say, and of course, joy comes along with that, is to vocalize, to chant, right? And so if you're in a low mood, I would say to somebody, especially if they're wanting to shift out of maybe a low mood and increase their joy, do something like sing out loud or chant or simply tone. You can simply go, ah, it doesn't matter sort of what note you're doing. You can, you know, chant mantras, whatever feels right for you, singing out loud. That can really lift us and bring us into a state of joy really quickly. Really anything that makes one happy, right? That's healthy. That's not damaging to yourself or to others. I would say whatever that is, you know, but I like the vocalization and chanting can really shift me into joy quickly.
Okay. Which I love that because I, you know, sound frequency is such a powerful thing. And I would not have thought of doing that. Raising vibration. Now, in terms of what they were talking about in terms of the connection. Mm-hmm. So from my understanding of what they were saying, it's like you really it's a within kind of journey to connect to these higher dimensional realities, right? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. It's not about like, oh my God, there's a spaceship right there.
So what I would say about that, great point is, and you heard them, they talked a little bit about it. And thanks for reminding me what they said, because while I don't completely lose it, I do, it goes away pretty quickly from the memory a little bit. The way that I describe people that are interested in seeing ships is, I feel like it's a little bit like ghost hunters who want proof.
Yeah.
So it, like in the psychic medium vein, like there's ghost hunters and there are mediums, and a lot of ghost hunters, this is a generalization for the audience. It's a vast generalization. They don't always believe in mediums. And it's not that people who are looking to see proof of ships and things don't believe in UFOs, but just by virtue of the fact that they're seeking out physical proof by way of a ship says to me, they're looking for physical proof. Mm-hmm. What I would say is for a ship to show up in the third dimension, I wouldn't want to talk to who's on the ship because of what we talked about earlier about dimensionality and fifth or above. And so I think that the general public doesn't understand that about dimensions, and that if you're wanting to see a ship and have a galactic walk up to you and talk to you, you're likely going to be dealing with a gray, you know, it's like a third or fourth dimensional galactic that I wouldn't want to have a conversation with face to face, because I wouldn't trust that they're coming from those higher spaces. So I don't believe that our vibration is high enough yet for the veils to fall away for us to see them. It sounds like some of what they said, as I just channeled, indicated that perhaps that's going to shift, and we're not there now. So that's why I wouldn't go looking for a ship or trying to talk to an alien coming off of a ship right now in 2024.
Okay. So what's interesting about what you just said is, so I do UFO tours, right? And we do see ships like nightly. Uh-huh. However, they're not very close to us. We're using military night vision goggles.
Cool.
So they're like outside of Earth's atmosphere, I think generally. Some of them are closer. Mm-hmm. But my understanding, the ones that we're seeing, are they're more of the Galactic Federation kind of craft. Yes. That are patrolling. And so
they
don't have, you know, the polarized agenda. They really are like over Earth. But what's really interesting is that so our skies here in Hawaii, so active. And places like Sedona, but I went to, you know, I've been other places and it's very quiet. Mm-hmm. And so when I moved here to the island just over 3 years ago, I heard someone say the veil is thinner here in Hawaii between the dimensions. And so we have a lot of portals, a lot of vortex energy. And so so it's interesting that we do have maybe a lot more activity here, or people see it. Because we also have the submerged objects, like the transmedium craft coming in and out of the water. Mm-hmm. And probably more of the Agarthans, the inner earth beings.
Wow. So cool. You're teaching me new things. I love this stuff, Lisa. That's really cool. And what's coming to me as you talk about it is, one, the proximity of where you are in Hawaii, right? A lot fewer light sources way out there in the middle of the Pacific, and also located where Lemuria was.
Yeah.
Exactly. Said to me, right? Like, so yeah, totally big portal, totally different energy there with what you're seeing. I didn't realize that the ones that you're seeing are tied to the galactic councils. That's really cool. It's really helpful to learn from you. Thank you for teaching me those things about it all. But yeah, I'm on the East Coast of the US. And so people that are doing a lot of the like CE5 and things like that, to try to talk to them, I'm like, oh, I wouldn't, it just doesn't feel right where I live. But yeah, where you are, that's a whole different experience. So cool.
Yeah. Well, and what's interesting, so one night, because I'm talking to them all the time. I'm just like, okay, guys, show up for me. And they do. Uh-huh. And so one night a year ago, there was one, and I got to experience it. No one else in my neighborhood saw it, but it was meant for me, right? And I think that sometimes when you open that third eye, you like, we can see things sometimes that maybe someone next to us wouldn't be able to see. Mm-hmm. And so it was a craft that was above the tree line above my neighbor's house. And I asked it, I'm like, okay, you know, first I made sure it wasn't a star or a planet, because it was stationary, but it looked like a very bright star. and it was just kind of pulsing. And so I asked it to do something for me that a spacecraft can do, that a star can't do. And so it dimmed out. And then a few seconds later, it came back on full brightness. And I got really excited, do it again. And so I asked it to do it 5 times because I needed that validation. Mm-hmm. And it did it for me because there was communication. Wow. So, yeah.
That is so cool. And you know what? This makes sense because they were showing me when they were talking about the connections and what's coming and, you know, encouraging people to connect via consciousness with them. They were showing me themselves on what looked like sort of like command centers or decks, you know, of inside the ship, right? Where like the controls and things might be for them to drive the ship. So that's interesting because they definitely came through with a message that's unique to your frame of reference as well as mine, which is super cool because they haven't channeled through me with any of the stuff that they just said while you and I are talking here on this podcast. Okay. And so it truly also illustrates like the melding of the frames of reference and who the audience is and who your audience is that'll be hearing this, right? So that's really cool. That helps me understand why they brought through some of what they brought through.
Yeah, very interesting. So now when you are channeling these different groups, whether it's archangels or ascended masters or galactics, like, does the energy feel different as it's coming through? Because I've heard from other channels that do multiple groups that it definitely feels different to them. So I'm curious what it's like for you.
Mm-hmm. Yes, it felt different, especially in the beginning. The archangels are like, they're the ones that feel the most human to me. Okay. So they're the ones that don't feel that much different. When I first started channeling them, there was a more qualitative difference. I don't know if you've had that with your channeling, but that's where things have become a little bit more seamless, is they feel different, but very subtly so. Mm-hmm. And it's more when I'm actually speaking, when they're actually speaking through me, that they feel different. It isn't about, for me, it isn't about like entry point or exit point. Yeah. It tends to be about how they feel when they're speaking through me. So I detect and discern the differences more from my cadence, the volume, the speech, patterns and things like that. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah. Okay. And so is there anything else that you want to share about the channeling piece, or do you want to focus on a different aspect of what you do?
You know, I would love to share something that came up last week when I was channeling, just to still thinking about the last question you just asked me about the feeling of the differences. Yeah. I had show up at the event that I did last week, a mermaid, a siren specifically. And she was fifth dimensional. And there was enough going on that I didn't third party channel her. She was from the right dimension, but there were a lot of qualities about her that were sort of off-putting as I was looking at her. And so she and I just decided that I would say her message as opposed to letting her channel through me. So there are some times where if something doesn't quite feel right, I won't allow them to channel through me. And that feels important for me to share with you and the audience, for any listeners, that it's always a good idea if something doesn't feel right, if you're working on trans-channeling, just don't let it come through. It's really that simple. Or ask them, you stand here and I'm going to give third-party messages. So I will recount what you're saying, but I'm not going to let you speak through me. So whether your listeners can discern the difference, not sure how many of them are channeling and such, it's always a good rule of thumb. If it doesn't feel quite right, just don't let them come through and perhaps go to third-party channeling.
That's really good advice. And, you know, we have free will. We get to decide what we do. So we don't have to allow anything to happen, right?
Correct. Yeah, right on. Yeah, we get to be in charge. And that's probably a really nice parting message too to have for people, is remember that you're directed in this. You know, just like Lisa said, we have free will. We can say what we're comfortable engaging with or not. And you know, to the point of the Galactic's messages too about joy, if you start to feel nervous in this process, then that's not you being in joy, and don't, you know, perhaps choose not to channel it. And so once you get yourself to that joy point where you might be entertaining, bringing different energies and entities through, remember that you're in charge of your body, you know, just as we wouldn't open up our windows and our screens, let all of the bugs and the birds fly in our house. You don't have to do that with spirits and galactics and galactic councils and things. Just because they're knocking on you and wanting to channel doesn't mean you have to, right? Definitely listen to yourself, yeah. Stay grounded, retain that agency, make those decisions whether you want to let them through or not.
Yeah. One of the things, so I was in Sedona a couple of weeks ago for a kind of an Ascension Galactic conference, and Bashar was there channeling. Yes. And so one of the questions that was asked to him, and I thought this was really interesting, this lady, she wanted to learn how to be like a very deep trance channel in terms of like being out of it. Mm-hmm. And Bashar made a comment of like, that's old school. No, it's time to actually be more present, more conscious, mm-hmm. as a channel, like what you just did. And what mm-hmm. I'm starting to do, the information can be there. And that's actually more of an evolution of channeling than people like Edgar Cayce, who had to essentially be
asleep. Correct. Yeah, it's right on. Love that Bashar brought that message through. And I talked to people about that too. The old school, I was trained in a spiritualist, the Spiritualist Church of New York, for my psychic skills. And the spiritualists were who was doing the table tipping and the, you know, rapping on the cabinets in the late 19th century and early 20th century, when it came from sort of, you know, England, at least to the US. That level of drama was almost necessary to convince people that there was life on the other side. So it had its place in history. It was necessary then, but Bashar is totally right in that for the last, well, since 12, but certainly before that too, it's almost like the veils have been thinning and the capacity for people to channel has been coming on and coming on and coming on, so that, yeah, it isn't that dramatic anymore. It doesn't need to be. I totally agree with what he said to you guys. It's awesome.
Yeah. No, I loved it because, you know, I think some people feel like, okay, I have to be basically a puppet. I have to truly get out of the way. And though we can get the messages just like you did, and, mm-hmm. you know, the third party messages. And that's, again, mm-hmm. I'm starting to just trust that because I claircognizance is one of my biggest clairs and clairsentience. So when I am like, okay, no, I know this.
Yay, that's awesome. And it feels good, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. So if people wanted to work with you and mm-hmm. wanted to learn from you, then what are the different ways that you offer for them?
Yes, I would say the best, I'm going to just clarify because I'm super literal, especially coming out of the ethers. Are you asking about my contact info?
Well, no, not just like.
Oh, in my practice, what do I do? Sorry.
Yeah.
So I do one-on-one sessions. I do readings, and they can be psychic or medium. I ask people to bring questions. So I basically, you know, I'm a channeler of spirit for you based on the questions that people would like to hear about. So I do one-on-one sessions, and my passion is teaching people to connect to their psychic skills and intuition. So I do that through my Conscious Psychic program. I've had that since 2012 when I created it, and it's a hybrid group coaching program. The crux of it is I run six development circles a week for all of the students, and I run them myself. So people are able to have access to me and my teaching and my guidance through those circles. I really believe that, you know, practice is the pathway to mastery. Like anything we want to master, we just kind of show up and practice and practice and practice. And so the program's experiential in nature. It's a really fun place to be. And so that's really my baby after my grandsons would be the Conscious Psychic program. In terms of, you know, learning about more how you could work with me, I would say go to my website is the best place to get information about all of the services and things and ways that we could work together.
And go ahead and you can share your website.
Okay, thanks. Energyintuit.com, energyintuit.com.
Beautiful. So we've got just a little bit of time left. So I want to just switch gears to the mediumship real quick. Mm-hmm. So in the last 6 months, my mm-hmm. husband passed away, my mother passed away, and my cat went missing, and I'm sure she's gone, actually. And so I've been able to really process, you know, all of that and get beautiful messages. And because of working with people who have past loved ones, what are some of the themes that come through? Because I know a lot of people on here are dealing with that. They have dealt with that. And we're going to have probably a lot more of that upcoming, mm-hmm. unfortunately.
Mm-hmm. Are you asking what are the themes that loved ones bring through for their, okay, just making sure I understood the question again. Thank you. Life is eternal and that everything is really love. And so, you know, they show up for us really for our comfort and for our earthly walk, right? It's hard for us to be a spirit and a human body on earth. And so, you know, the biggest overarching themes are that they come through to reassure us that life does continue on once you change form and change dimension and leave, you know, a body, a corporeal body. And so really just messages of love. And, you know, unfortunately, a lot of people that are still alive after people pass do carry a lot of the weighty feelings of sort of like worrying or feeling guilt or wondering if they did the right things and things like that. And almost every mediumship session I have, the spirits are so forgiving. And of course, there's no beef left over there at all, right? So I really just would love for people to know, and I'm so sorry for your losses, Lisa. Oh my goodness, that's a lot in 6 months. That, you know, our loved ones are really pulling for us and rooting for us, and they really love us. And so not getting hung up on some of the things that we move through as humans, or maybe the last disagreement we had, there's no need to focus there. They're not focusing on that on the other side, and they don't want us to focus. They don't want us to waste any precious seconds of our life worrying about things like that.
Yeah, that's important. And I know that a lot of, like with my husband, a lot of his friends and his brother have survivor's guilt because they're like, well, I could have done something more because he committed suicide. So, you know, they're like, you know, if only mm-hmm. I had done something more. And what he has shared, not to them because they aren't necessarily open to mediumship, but what he has shared, there's nothing that anyone could have done really differently.
Exactly. So sorry for that. What I will say is, I'm sure you know this with the work that you do. It's been told to me that probably the one rule that we're all meant to heed is to not either, you know, kill someone or kill ourselves. And there is not a hell on the other side. I have connected with so many people that have committed suicide, unfortunately, and none of them have been in purgatory, right? And some of them to their surprise, you know, because those religious stories and those cultural overlays and the, you know, all the things that can come along with that, they're not punished on the other side. They're taught different lessons when they get over there, if that's the way they ended up dying. Yeah. And so I just hope that we can just continue to kind of stamp out any of this dualistic belief or polarized belief, as you say, that there's, you know, a hell. There isn't. And so people that have unfortunately taken their lives, they're not in any kind of hell on the other side.
No, I think that is so important for people to hear. And we have heard in our society all of the stigmas of that. And I mean, we are multidimensional beings, right? We're more than just this life. And we're existing simultaneously in all the realms.
Absolutely.
Well, are there any final words that you would love to share with the audience before we wrap up here?
No, I'd like to tell you that your husband's blowing you kisses and your mother loves you and he loves you and your cat is there too. They're all together on the other side. I know you know that, but they were standing there when you asked for audience messages. They wanted to bring through a message for you, Dr. Lisa. Thank you.
Thank you. Well, I have really enjoyed our conversation. I am so happy to have you now as part of my network of people. And for those of you that might be interested in really like tapping into those psychic abilities and channeling, you know, check out Angela's website, energyintuit.com. Yeah.
Correct.
And what socials are you on?
Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube is kind of just gearing up too. I've got a channel out there, but it's pretty quiet, but there will be more there in the coming months.
Okay, perfect. Yeah.
Thank you, Lisa. It's been such a joy. I'm so honored to be here with you and to have had this conversation. It's been awesome. And I'm so grateful to now consider you a friend and part of my network too.
Yeah, well, thank you. And for those of you watching or listening, thank you for your time. And I'll see you next time on Connection to the Cosmos. Aloha.